no longer there.
As a cult, they worship.
In fact, now it's just a mound or a tell.
It's interesting, but because
Colossae was a very important
many
city
people
around
today
at that time.
Have angels as a major thing.
And why did he write?
They talk about the guardian angels.
And
so
they
make a big thing
of
that.
It's actually
and
in
so
the southwest
because
corner
of that, they pray to the angels.
And in a place called
not
Phrygia.
Really what we're meant to be
and
doing.
It must have been one of the smallest cities.
And so Paul was writing
to
Colossae about this cult.
As you can tell, it was
amongst other things.
Just to tell, just a mound, really.
So what really matters?
And one of the things about Colossae was that it produced a dark red wool
called Colossinum.
And as Paul tells us, our focus should be in Christ. And in Colossae,
unlike in them days,
they had a very strong cult.
There's
to do with angels
of religion.
And Paul is writing, warning the church of this.
A lot of Christianity is mixed with other things.
And he emphasised how important Christ was and should be in each of our lives.
I remember when I was younger,
we're going to look at a little clip, talk about maypole dancing,
a song by Robbie Williams.
And that was done as part of Sunday school and all the rest of it. And it's not really a Christian thing, but some things creep in, and we have to be aware of that. And people borrow from other religions, very much like today. And Paul loved the church so much that he decided to write to them. He'd never actually been there before. And yet there was a little church there. And it's said that within a short time of this letter going to Colossae, that it was destroyed by an earthquake. And so, that's why it's not there anymore. It was destroyed by an earthquake. Maybe that was God's judgment on it, but they had fair warning. Should be on Christ. Today, angels are thought of as benevolent helpers, some antagonistic. In art, there's lots of visual styles depicting angels with wings and all of that. And in New Age, they talk of them as offering healing and guidance and a connection to the divine. What does the Bible say about them? Well, the Bible says they announce good news. Like we talk about good news that have happened to us, they announced it. They announced the birth of Jesus, Zachariah and Elizabeth, Joseph and the shepherds. They ministered to Jesus in the wilderness. They rolled the stone away at the end. They opened prison doors for the apostles. And they directed evangelists where to go. An example is Philip. Not this Philip. In Acts chapter 8. And they will come with Jesus at his second coming. We can read that in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 7. And sometimes they're often in art world depicted as fairy-like creatures. But to worship them, we're never told that. Worship only God. There is an excess preoccupation with angels today in modern life. You never know what's coming.
in this life, do you? And the church at Colossae never knew that there was going to be an earthquake and flatten the whole area, everything gone. And I sometimes think that about us as a church. Do we know what's coming next? No, we don't. So Paul warns us and says, well, don't let anyone judge you of how you celebrate, how you eat, or what you drink. But he asks us to walk and be rooted and built in him. And sometimes I think, are we rooted and built in him? And sometimes, some days you think, oh yeah, I'm really going for it. I'm really rooted. I like a tree planted by the waters, really there. And then other days you think, oh, what am I here for at all? Even ministers think that. How did we receive Christ? And how do we walk in him today? And our walk should be based on our knowledge of God and our understanding of his will. And it's a pattern that's repeated quite a lot in the New Testament. Paul talks at the beginning about the struggle he has for those at Colossae. And yet he was encouraged by them, by the way they were disciplined, the way they lived. So there's a mixture there. Well, when we walk, when we go hiking, I don't anymore, but not for a while anyway, you prepare yourself, don't you? You find your best hiking boots and you strap them on and you find your thickest socks and maybe carry a spare pair of socks and then your waterproof and then your rucksack. Always go hiking with a rucksack. I don't know what they have in them, but food and water and maps, that always helps, and a plan. I remember once a few years ago, I went walking with a friend, Julian, and we went up some hill in Wales, and all of a sudden it got foggy. And we looked at each other and we said, can't see where we're going. What use is a map then? And so we ended up of abandoning the walk altogether and going back to the car, which fortunately at that time wasn't too far away, and we found it. But you have to be prepared for all sorts. And how do we prepare for our walk with Christ? We pray. We spend time with God. We read the Bible. And we pray for others as well. And sometimes, just a little tip. Sometimes if you pray for somebody, it might help if you have maybe something like a stone or a shell in your pocket, or even a cross, which we had before, just to remind you to pray for that person. And you can hold it in your pocket while everything else is going on around you. And they don't know that you're actually praying, and they're not. And they're just carrying on the conversation. And we read our Bibles. It would be good to say we read them every day, but we tend actually not to. But don't feel condemned for that, because the thing is, so long as we read our Bibles at some point and God speaks to us through it, then it's fine. God speaks to us in different ways. And I'm not saying we shouldn't read our Bible, we should. That's how we walk with Christ. We pray, we read our Bibles, we spend time alone with him. In silence is good. Sometimes you can use words, but sometimes it's best not to. And we pray for others, like we've prayed this morning. So many distractions, so many things that could come in, don't we? And sometimes we're distracted by our family, our friends, our work, or just getting old. We're distracted by that and it takes over, doesn't it? And when your knees are hurt or your back hurts or something hurts, then we're distracted. But God knows about that. Sometimes we're distracted by the world and what it offers, like the television, entertainment of all kinds. It's easy to be distracted by that because it's just perpetual, 24 hours a day. But it's good to get undistracted from that and focus on Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Paul was also writing to Timothy, a recipient of this letter, as well as the church at Colossae. And Timothy was one of his pupils, if you like. And continue to live your lives in him. And sometimes we can be distracted, but then afterwards continue to live your life with him. And that's our encouragement this morning. To not give up, to carry on even when we've had a time of maybe distraction or whatever, that we can always carry on. Because Christ is always there, he's always listening, always with us. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going.